strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm not at the farm this week, but I'm still looking forward to providing some scorching hot takes.
Okay, well, Nick, one of my big hot takes from last week was, and I've been saying it for a few weeks, and I didn't get everything right from last week's pod, and we'll come to prediction on something I said about a player, which turned out to be very wrong. But one thing I started last week's pod by saying that we should be grateful for this team as it is and the victories that we get, because you rarely get teams this good. And then yep. We pulled out an all-time classic game, and just, you know, I've rewatched the second half 3 times. My God, it was a good game.
It was a great game. Oh, my God. The fourth quarter went going 35 minutes. Just killed me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, it was. I mean, it was, and I'm sure you get it. Look, we talked about it beforehand. Everyone knows that they're a very efficient team, and they absolutely maxed out their efficiency with their shots for goal, but they are still a champion team. You know, they did some things extremely well, and it did really feel like more of a heavyweight clash. And the first one we've really had this year, I think, where we've had a true, you know, it was sort of in the 12th round, and the both boxers were staggering on their feet, but they were still trading punches. It was a classic.
Yeah, it was great. And it's a credit. I mean, it was a credit to all involved, you know, the Grimes, as you tweeted, coming back from the dead. I loved Dave Asprey's response to Grimes coming back on the field,
running with two hands in the air. Yeah,
Jack kicking the winning goal after, you know, losing his composure, not once, but twice, in, as it turned out, fairly justifiable circumstances.
Let's come back to that. I've got a little bit of a tidbit about that particular moment.
Yeah. Good times. Ivan Soldo spending the whole first quarter putting the ball down the throat of opposition midfielders in a way that I saw some people comparing to Sean Hampson, which I don't think was meant as a compliment.
No, and then also giving away a kick, free kick to Darling, who's 10 centimetres shorter than him and not as good a lead, which led to a goal. So that was, and then Chol also left his man, which set up another goal. Basically, 3 goals by my count. 2 to 3 of the Eagles' avalanche in the first quarter was to do with ruck mistakes, and then, as I put on Twitter,
I'm unconvinced the Chol one was a mistake. I thought Hickey wasn't actually all that dangerous where he was, unless, you know, you had the 1 in 10 chance of a kick literally skewing sideways, because he was guarding the top of the square, which is a far more dangerous spot. And
you've got to start with your man, and then you go to the top of the square but your man's run down for a reason, and Nank wouldn't have done that. Nank would have seen that Hickey was coming down, but either way, the point is still that, you know, the first quarter was an abomination for the Rucks, and in the last quarter Soldo I'm not saying he couldn't be beaten, and he did have 1 or 2 taps, Shark, but overall he was incredibly strong in the last quarter. Now, someone has suggested on Twitter that stop trying to project him as the next Max Gawn. He's not the next Max Gawn, but anything, you know, if Soldo is playing at an average level for a starting ruck in the AFL, I'm ecstatically happy with that.
Yeah, Tom Hickey's a backup ruck too, and he's at his third club, so he's a bit of a journey. He's a bit of a journeyman, but
and Soldo,
him being better than him is still, it's not bad. Hickey's been decent this year.
Exactly. That's exactly the right way to pitch it. That and we can talk about the rucks more later. We've skipped ahead a bit, but you know that's exactly right. That you start with, are you the best backup? Are you better than other backups in the AFL? If the answer is yes, you're a better than average backup. Well, that's a pretty good start.
Well, we have to talk about some more when we come to the Lions, actually. So, yeah.
So, what else stood out for you?
Look, is it starting with the obvious to rave about Dusty and Prestia again?
You know Dusty's goal, that really important goal where it in the third, that was set up by Prestia, you know, being incredibly skillful and elite and weaving through two Eagles, and because we had two guys running ahead of the play and sort of the Eagles had all sucked up around the ball, and normally that, you know, quite often that would lead to a turnover and go the other way, but the reason it didn't was because Prestia was so brilliant. So that was sort of a nice little encapsulation of the two of theirs goal games in one beautiful moment. And by the way, the volley that Dusty Prestia's kick was pretty shanky, and on a wet day Dusty gathered it beautifully, so it was it nicely encapsulated two of our brilliant players for the day.
Yeah, easy three votes for Dusty, I thought.
Well, you know, maybe. I mean, Hooley was brilliant too.
Yeah, but not.
Not in as influential way.
Not in as game winning a way.
Not in an 800 meters, 800 meters gained kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, crucial goal. Yeah, he's just got great. You pointed this out, but I noticed it several times on replay, but Prestia feeling so confident he can fake handballs and do these little shimmies. Like, yeah, he's feeling really good.
He is, and he's just shooting up the AFL rankings. I know we've debated before whether or not he's done this before, how good his son's form was. But by the ratings, he's now playing the best football of his career, and he's just absolutely superb now. And you know what? He's fun to watch. Like those cute little hand passes and the clever things he does. He's really enjoyable as this team in general. I think we're very lucky. It's a very aesthetically pleasing team, but he's certainly a key part of it.
Yeah, Shea Bolton, I think, is also part of. The goal was great. I could have killed him in the last quarter with that set shot for goal. I was in a stressed out place. You know, one of my nightmares is the loss where we dominate the ball and don't convert, and the other team jags it every time they go inside 50, and it was just felt like that was playing out.
No, he's not a great set for shot for goal, is he?
Not great. No, he's fine.
Well, you know, if your starting point is George Costanza, he's not the worst on the team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's better than that. Yeah, there's nothing super wrong with his motion, but, yeah.
It was funny. Like, I've heard people observe, you would think he's a better wet weather player just by the nature of he's so good with ground balls, but he actually seems to prefer the dry. Like, he was fine, but he hasn't been at his dominating best in the last few wet weather games. I'll be interested if we get a semi-dry day next week, how he plays.
Hmm. It's been a while since we had a dry day.
It's been a very long while. I mean, I guess we had the first half where he kicked his brilliant goal, so, you know. Mm. So we had a small sample, and it was such a good goal. So hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I looked very carefully, as did he have an opportunity to handball off to somebody else, and no, is it? The goal was the right thing to do.
Oh, I completely agree. Of course it's always the right thing to do when you kick it, but I think it definitely was.
So, I thought both key forwards kept trying on a pretty dirty day for key forwards. I thought, the West Coast key backs are very good, and I thought both Winch and Jack did a good job of staying dangerous so that they couldn't drop off all that much. The rulings against Jack, and I mean, there are a couple of soft free kicks either way, but I thought we got the rub of them, and particularly the one in the second quarter. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know, Nick, if you wanted to make an overly simplistic analysis, Lynch plus Jack equals 5 goals, Darling plus Kennedy equals 3 goals, the margin was less than 2 goals.
Good point. Darling wasn't the same after he had that massive collision. Yeah,
and then Kennedy, as you pointed out in the preview, is no longer elite, but he did take that one very nice mark at the end of the game.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, Darling was looking dangerous. So
Nick, can we just talk about Jack briefly, since you brought him up?
I just wanted to point out that when they introduced the Toby Green role, which I think was perfectly justified, since Toby Green was at times kicking people in the face with his leg out almost at 90 degrees, the rule literally reads, with leg extended in a manner likely to cause injury. So you just didn't have to interpret it as merely having the leg raised. There's nothing in there prohibiting having the leg up to protect yourself. You just had to interpret it the way that it was written rather than in a super literal way. Oh, my God.
Did you know that Jack in his post-match Fox Footy interview, he said, do you remember the first free kick where he goes back to have the shot for goal and then very theatrically goes, oh my God, when he realises the free kick's been turned?
Yeah, and hats off to the restraint for not swearing at the umpire in that moment.
He admitted in his post-match interview that he realised straight away that the free kick had gone the other way. So Jack was doing
very well performance theatre.
It was. It's hard to. It's, sometimes you get a little bit of picture about why the umpires don't like Jack very much. Anyway,
he was just playing on what 21 through 28 year old Jack would have done in the circumstances to hold up play. I think that's really smart.
Made the umpire look absolutely terrible though. I think Richo's handled that issue very well on Twitter, and it's now been dealt with. It is nice.
How many other clubs literally get rule interpretations changed? Like,
yeah, I mean that's cultural power. It's, and it probably won't last very long, but let's enjoy it while it does.
True. I think it's also having the game one of round one. So, you know, that you can see just how silly some of the rule interpretations look.
That's true. And Lynch, another thing he's talking about umpires, I love Lynch that he gave away a kick for free to too high, which he thought the West Coast player raised his arm to draw, but then he gave away the kick for too high, and then he just gets stuck right into the West Coast player. He's such an angry, big, angry, intimidating key forward. He's so much fun. I love him. 17 touches, by the way. Very respectable. 17 touches, yeah. 3 goals on a wet day. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I liked his game. We should talk about the defenders. I mean, we mentioned when Grimes came back on, but he played really well.
Yeah, so he made the team of the week. Obviously, incredibly exciting comeback, but had done.
Well, that's just a pure the AFL ratings one's just on a pure statistical formula.
Exactly, and it was on the basis of 10 intercept possessions. You can watch the last 5 minutes of the game over and over again, and really you don't learn that much. It's just helter-skelter football. Quite reflective of the overall game is that we have more inside 50s and we dominate general possession, but our scoring is pretty even. And by the way, Nick, actually, I forgot to mention this before. You realise with 4 minutes to play, the ball was in the West Coast, the scores were tied, and the ball was in the West Coast forward line. So with four minutes to play, we are effectively losing the game. Like, God, it was close.
Yep.
Anyway, so back to Grimes.
Very, very stressful.
but back to Grimes. Most of those last few minutes are just chaos, but there is a beautiful moment where the ball goes long. It's a one-on-one contest. Dylan wins the one-on-one contest. A West Coast player is a second West Coast player is first to the crumb, and Dylan beats the second West Coast player to the ball, and eventually, with the help of the cavalry in the shape of Broad arriving, gets the ball out of bounds. But it was Grimes effectively for a couple of seconds once again beating two West Coast forwards. Oh, he's just a champion.
Yeah, and look, the Eagles didn't press up all that much during the day, so it was notable, all on a dirty wet day, all Grimes, Asprey, Baker all went very high rates of disposal efficiency. I mean, taking high percentage options as well. But yeah, I thought. Thought the defence was really calm and composed and in control after the first quarter. I felt we didn't have our structure right in the first quarter. They have very quick small forwards, and they were getting in dangerous spots. And actually, our smaller defenders aren't super fast off the mark. So that. It was a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I did think two or three of their goals was just perfect football. Like, it's just, it was a good team that you couldn't have stopped. But I'm not disagreeing with your point, but I'm not at all suggesting you're saying this, but I think the very worst conclusion would be the sort of the old-fashioned defensive coach conclusion from the problem with the first quarter was that we didn't... we just need to knuckle down the fence. There probably were. I mean, we did do some dumb things, but the reason we kept in that game was because we scored 3 goals ourselves in the first quarter and kept scoring in the second quarter. We kept in touch when the other team had an unstoppable run. I think just a couple of those goals were just unstoppable. And football is not about stopping the other team from scoring. It's about scoring more overall, which we eventually did. Does that make sense? That I just think there were one or two of those goals, maybe two to three, that were just brilliant. And they were brilliant shots for goal, and they would have been very hard to defend.
Yeah, and their midfield was on top, and the ball was coming down clean. It was a bit of a perfect storm.
You're always going to concede one or two very clean clearances a quarter. It's just the way. I mean, we get them the other way. It's just what happens.
Yep. Baker only had 11 disposals, but I thought he was very, very clean. And yeah, I mean, he did. It was his. He lost his man once or twice, but yeah, I think the Baker back pocket is. Is going pretty well, and particularly we've got less of a choice now that Snack's probably out for the rest of the year.
Well, actually, there's a Barmy apparently, as we're recording this podcast, there hasn't been an update, which is extraordinary to me. There's been a full day without Sydney Stack updates. It's like, you know, the sort of the crap that gets covered in minutia these days in football, and something that's actually meaningful for our finals chances hasn't been mentioned. Yeah, at this stage, there is a chance he plays finals, Barmy said today. Yesterday.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Mm. I enjoyed a Jaden Short long goal again. I've missed those.
Yes. I thought he was okay. I know not everyone felt that way about his game, but I sort of didn't notice any major defensive lapses. You know, some of the kicking was quite respectable. But, you know, it was such a good thing that you made the comment about yesterday, about Broad's up there with Loston and Grimes. Well, that game highlighted to me, like, don't get me wrong, I like Nathan, I like Broad. I'm not having a crack, but that, yeah, there's a Mount Rushmore, and Vlossy and Grimes's face are carved into stone, and Asprey is sort of there's a little statue of him in the gift store because he's not bad either.
Yeah, I do worry without Rance, we are not quite as hyper versatile as we used to be. Like.
Oh no, we were stuffed. If Grimes didn't come back, we were stuffed. We might have been able to win that game, but yeah, we'd be stuffed long term.
Yeah, but things to worry about for the finals, and it is, you know, beating another top four team without our best ruck, best key back, and the Brownlow midfielder. Yeah, it wasn't bad. With Rance, we have the ability to play Grimes like on Eddie Betts. Like, you can play him literally on anybody who you think is the most dangerous forward. We haven't quite got that versatility, which is, you know, because I worry about everything. I mean, that's one of the things I worry about for the finals.
No, and it's a potential problem. And the sort of, as sort of pointed out before, we're not, you know, some people might have us as flag favourites. I think that is dependent on what we do against Brisbane this week, but we're not going to be strong favourites. Like, we're going in.
No, we're equal favourites at the moment. And yeah, there's really a top five that all have between, you know, a sort of 15 to, 25% chance at the moment.
Yeah, so I think we touched on Soto before, and I don't think we need to go onto it. We said a lot of it already. We were plus 14 in the hit-outs, and Soto also was sort of a mid-ranked player and considerably better than his opponent. So, yes, he did clearly win the matchup, as we implied before. One thing I noticed in the last... as I mentioned, he was very strong, and it wasn't just the thing I took... posted on Twitter where he sort of started the chain that shed a goal. There was actually a fair bit of play in between Soldo's tap and the goal, but there were multiple other clearances where Soldo's ruck work was fairly decisive and helpful in the contest in the fourth. And I noticed, I don't have the exact stats, but my feeling is because we lost about three or four contests in a row as soon as Chol went into the ruck in the fourth, and I think the coaching staff rushed him back on in the fourth, Soldo. He gave him a shorter break than normal. I don't have specific evidence for that, but Chol played his lowest game time in 5 weeks. Actually, his game time has been going down consistently every game over his last 5 week stint, but I just got a feeling that the coaches have decided, at least in that goal, in that Soldo has become quite a decisive factor in the ruck. Sort of repeating my point of last week, Chol's stats have dropped right off, and they're getting worse pretty much every week. So I think it's time we tried a different second ruck without hammering the point too hard.
Yeah,
because we've got two really good ones in VFL.
Sorry. Yeah, we do. I don't think we can play Bolton this week.
Oh, why's that?
Because Brisbane's second ruckman is bigger than Ivan Soldo.
Yeah.
He's 204 centimetres and 107 kilos. and he's not a bad... he's top 20 in the AFL in contested marks. I think he would... I'm just worried he'd monster Bolter every single time.
Isn't that almost the case, though? If he's taking a lot of contested marks, he might monster him a bit in the ruck, but, in a contested marking contest, I'd take Bolter over Chol.
Chol's been competing well in the air.
He competes well in the air when someone doesn't put a body on him and he's allowed to run free, or when he's playing against a guy who's 10 centimetres shorter than him.
Bolter's a little bit... Bolter, if he has to play on someone, loses his man a bit too much.
But what about CCJ in that circumstance?
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't where I expected to start with the Lions, but I actually had fun researching the Lions, but yeah, the big O, being a surprisingly feisty contributor I thought it was good. It's kind of cool. Enormous Ruckman drafted it out of the VFL at age 22. It's a good story on a team with a lot of stories.
Yeah, so you'd love CCJ to try out the big O. It'd be very interesting, wouldn't it? CCJ wasn't a first round pick, but he was sort of captain of his under 18s team. He's a fairly high second round pick. He's sort of he's a more conventional path, isn't he?
He is, yeah. But yeah, I think it was the first pick of the second round, so he was pick 20th, so he's certainly got some pedigree.
I'm just finishing the Chol thing. I can see why the coaches have persevered with him, and I appreciate it's been wet, but it's just the performance just isn't there. He needs to go back to the VFL.
He needs to clunk some of the marks to be useful. I appreciate that he's making his pressure acts a way up on when he first came into the team. I think on performance we definitely need to make a change. But yeah, I just think Brisbane are playing two specialist rucks and they're both good, and I think we need to play two specialist rucks too.
I'd be okay with CCJ. I mean, I have a soft spot for Bolter and have more faith in him.
In normal circumstances, if they were playing a sort of a key position type as backup ruck, I'd be all in favour of Bolter. It's just good. He's enormous.
Going around a few other players. You might remember Nick last week. I gave Jason Georgia a rap. pointed out he's been above 15 touches five games in a row. Speculated that potentially the conditions favoured him, and he pretty much put in a shocker.
He did. And that missed shot for goal. It was a nice goal in the first quarter. It was a bit frustrating.
10 touch. Sorry.
Dan Rioli didn't do a great deal, but he was very, very clean in what he did do. Yeah.
I love Dan Rioli because I just think he's so important to the team. I know a lot of people are saying this, and his numbers are down. But he has a crucial role because he's the one who sprints 40 metres to get that one pressure act. Yes, I know his pressure act numbers aren't high, but he does the really hard ones that put on forward pressure that make our game plan work and that stop the other team rolling out easily when we make a turnover. I just think he's top 10 most important players on our team structurally. Just every time you watch him, he's chases a... the best, the hardest, and the quickest on the team. I love Daniel Rioli, even when his output is, as you quite rightly point out, mean fairly so lately.
Mm. Shane Edwards' disposal was a bit off this week, but you couldn't fault his ball winning.
No, and he got a, on a wet day, he got a, pun not intended, shed load of meters gained. So, you know, we adjusted to the conditions and, he was decent. Two guys were a bit disappointed. I was a bit disappointed with, but Jack Graham and Jack Ross sort of disappeared on days you would have thought would have suited them.
Yeah, particularly Jack Ross. Oh, sorry, Jack Graham, because he's been in really good form. I was disappointed in Jack Ross. I thought it was the first game where he seemed a bit overawed by the leaping standard. He's still a really good young player and has a good future. But yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, but that's right. Exactly right, but he'll come back. He'll probably be replaced by Cochin this week and get some time in the VFL and come back stronger. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he plays in the first final, if he puts in a good game in the VFL.
Yep. Well, shall we talk about the VFL?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a question on notice is not one we're going to answer today. Is the caddy position switch moving working?
I thought I liked Keddie's game better this week.
Because he kicked a goal?
Well, and he was doing that thing where it's end-to-end play and suddenly Keddie's one of all on his own, in a deep forward location. But he's also cracking in midfield if he can. That position really does suit him.
He's an elite trash talker. That's something I enjoy about him.
Oh, yeah, very definitely. Look, we talked about him. So, moving on to the VFL, they had a good win against Essendon, clinched the minor premiership. But it was tough, close game against Essendon, who seem to always give us tough, close games. But yeah. Noah Bolter just dominated the first half. 12 disposals, 11 hit-outs, a couple of goals. Not as easy as want. Didn't do that over four quarters. But, yeah, he was still our best player. So I think he's firmly on the radar for the seniors, if not for this week. Callum Coleman-Jones kicked a goal, 28 hit-outs, 19 disposals. I really think he's putting his hand up.
There's a good case thing that those two are the starting two rucks in 2021 for Richmond.
Mm. Whew. Not prepared to live in a world without Nick yet.
Fair.
Paddy Naish, you know, very good as always.
Gets a lot of ball.
Riley Collard-Dawkins doesn't get a lot of the ball, but he's one of our best players.
He appears to have taken up the early Sheds disposal cap. He got 16 again. I think that's several games. I can't remember. I'd have to look at the numbers at the end of the year, but 16 is one of his magic numbers.
It is. 7 tackles, which is a big number. The sort of what he does is so eye catching that I really think we've got something there, but he's a strange player. While talking about tackles, Dan Butler having 12 tackles and a couple of goals is putting his hand up for selection.
Yeah.
Especially given that Jake Arts was the carryover player.
And Pickett put the selection hype a little bit in the core with a slightly less influential game.
Mm. We should mention K-Mac played very well and is certainly there in if needed. Sydney Stack just dominated the first half until he had his ankle injury, so yeah, good to hear there's a chance he'll be back. Yeah, that was the main standout for me.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. Yeah, it was, and now they move into the finals because that was the last regular season game. Anything about the women's AFL that stood out to you?
Well, the Bulldogs really have our number. That's the annoying part. I mean, I think we've definitely got a good team. I think the optimism of the first month when we were unbeatable was perhaps just, you know, it's
yep.
opponent and who we had in the team at the time. But yeah, the Bulldogs very much a step above us at the moment, which is a bit disappointing. But you know, also the team still, you know, we've still only got 14 players, so the draft is going to be important as well. I do love the videos they're doing of when they're telling players that they've been signed for the team. I thought this week it was Cody Jacks, who's a midfielder from our academy zone, where it seems like we're investing a lot. But yeah, they're really cute. Do you know what's not cute anymore?
What?
The Brisbane Lions.
No.
Scrappy underdogs no more.
No, they're not. They're sort of they're getting legit good. I actually, a couple of weeks ago, I must admit, placed some futures investments on both Brisbane and Collingwood because I thought people were sleeping on them, both of which are looking pretty good at the moment. But yes, they're, you know, all the metrics support the fact that they're a really good team. It's sad it took them beating Geelong for people to recognise that. But if you've been watching closely, they've been up and about for a while.
They have, yeah. And particularly the Gabba, not a fun place for play anymore.
The finals really, really important now because of the way the finals breaking down and the other teams in it. It's becoming very important to finish top four. Part of that is the home ground advantage. No one wants to play Brisbane and Brisbane in the finals. And there are lots of little things like that. So this game's incredibly meaningful. Mm. Less meaningful for the Lions. Yeah, no one exactly.
I don't want to play the Bulldogs in either.
No, they might struggle a bit more against us at the MCG. But yes, I completely agree. Yep.
Mm.
What else, Essendon? Oh yes, I was quite happy to finish fifth.
Oh yeah, bring it on. Or either of the Adelaide. Adelaide teams.
God, we would have. Oh, I would love to have slaughtered the Crows on the MCG again. Can't get enough of that. But yeah, no, fourth is this game is incredibly meaningful for us. Ironically, probably completely meaningless for the Lions. But you know, I suspect they'll try their absolute best because they've got so much to prove.
I know, annoyingly so. Look. They deserve to be where they are. Look, Geelong, you know, has the best percentage of the season because they sort of, for the first, you know, 3 months or so, they were the most dominant team. But, the Brisbane have just, you know, they haven't stopped winning for a while. The numbers suggest they're a very good team. They're number one clearly in the AFL in intercept differential, which is a big indicator for us when we're going well. They don't handle much. It's a very kick heavy style. They've got the small, you know, Charlie Cameron.
Yeah, I thought they overpaid for him, but he's
been great.
Yeah, he's a top 100 player, and that's gold as a small forward.
Yeah, and getting Lincoln McCarthy out of Geelong, you know, amazing a guy who's been around as long as he has could be a sleeper, but yeah, he just never really had a consistent run at it.
I must admit, I did particularly enjoy him kicking the winner against Geelong because, you know, normally they do that to other clubs. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty great. Steph, we've talked about the big O, but Stephen Martins, still very good ruckman into his early 30s. Lachie Neale's the deserved Brownlow favourite. McCluggage has taken a step up. What struck me looking at a lot of their stats was how, you know, Lachie Neale's their only player getting above 23 disposals a game, but you know, it's just a really even, hard at it midfield.
Yeah.
Mitch Robinson being a key contributor in 2019 is something I don't think any of us would have seen.
Where do you think he is on the AFL rankings?
Now that you say that, it makes me think it's reasonably high.
Yeah, he's 65th.
Wow.
Considering...
I've not seen that coming.
When he was leaving Carlton, pretty much any Melbourne club could have had him for free. A little bit of contract, but, you know. And they actually have three midfielders in the top 25 with, you know, the Zorko's always been a stats pig and Jared Lyons.
Mm.
They're sort of legit stacked.
Yeah.
And, you haven't mentioned Harris Andrews yet, have you?
No, and Harris Andrews will probably be all Australian this year. Marcus Adams, who's got the second best biceps at the Lions, has also been good the last 2 months.
Other than their comms director.
Other than their comms director, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably taught him everything he knows.
Yeah. Bit more oil.
Yes. No, don't waste time doing silk squats. You just injure your hamstrings.
No, more curls.
Yes, squat racks are for doing bicep curls. Anyway, sorry.
Mentioned McCluggage, but you know he's a bit of Rolls Royce next to the grunt. They're a really good team. And we're going to have to play well. To beat them. Look, it's hard to draw a line on their MCG form because they don't play there all that often, but the Gabba's not one of these weird misshapen grounds like the SCG. I think it plays fairly neutral. So yeah, it's going to be on. I think the line's a bit flattering to us, actually.
The 15.5, yeah. I thought the last week's line of 13.5 was flattering to us as well, which we didn't cover. But I still think we're going to win. But of course I do. We've won 7 in a row. How can you not? But I'm as worried about this game as I was about the game against the reigning premiers the week before, if not more so.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and we just got to keep riding away.
Tiger of old, the storm and revolt, for we're from Tiger. Yeah. Martin, three votes.